Good morning, everyone. This is Allie Moon. You are listening to Lyrical Audio Candy Tour. This is where we explore books, poetry, and quotes that please every taste. So come on, let's go. Literary treats await. Good morning, everyone. It is 8 o'clock a.m. on 3/26/2024, and I just wanted to create an episode all about little tidbits that I've been learning about the Prohibition. It's a very intriguing time in our history. I would not say I'm a history buff, but there are certain things in history that I absolutely love learning about. If it has to do with fashion, I'm all over it. Because I would tell you, in history class, I was not paying attention to history. I was drawing dresses. That's what I was doing, basically. I had a notebook. I was designing dresses. And unless the history lesson was intriguing to me, I was not listening. So, there you go. Now you know my secrets. That is why I don't know very much about wars or anything like that. Yeah. So, anyway, hang tight for some very, very interesting facts about the 1920s. All of this research has started much like a writer. If they're going to write a timepiece, you need to know your facts. So, I would say if we do historical candles, we need to know the facts. We need to know the history. So, we're doing this deep dive into Prohibition, different, you know, speakeasies, different cocktails. It's kind of funny because I'm taking a hiatus from alcohol, and yet I'm creating, we're creating different cocktail-related candles. Anyway, so it's kind of ironic. Okay, Prohibition. Does anyone know what Prohibition is? Prohibition was the time frame where the government made it a law that you were not allowed as a business to manufacture and sell and trade alcohol. That was the 18th Amendment, and it was passed January 17th, 1920, and it lasted a really freaking long time. It lasted until the 21st Amendment was passed, ending Prohibition, December 5th, 1933. Think about it, from 1920 to 1933, no alcohol was allowed. Did that stop everyone? Oh no, oh no. You've heard the term speakeasy. Speakeasy basically was a bar that was a secret, hidden bar, where people would congregate, they'd dance, they'd sip on these very sometimes dangerous bootlegged alcoholic beverages. Cocktails were always there, but this was really the cocktail culture because they had to mix all kinds of things into these cocktails to make them taste good because the quality of the alcohol was just absolutely horrible. They would mix ginger ale, Coca-Cola, sugar, mint, simple syrups, lemon, fruit juices. This is where actually one of the old-fashioned, you know, your classic old-fashioned was served with a cherry and an orange. Well, during this time, what they had to do was they had to mull it, meaning they took this little mallet and they mushed down the fruit so the bits of the fruit would actually get into this really subpar alcohol just to make it taste good. So that's where this cocktail culture came from. I did create a Pinterest board if you want to go on it. What did I call it? Let's see. I'm going to go on to my Lyrical ACT. So find me on Pinterest, Lyrical ACT. If you go under saved, it's called Prohibition. lot of beautiful black and white schematics from the Roaring Twenties. Some little cute little things where it gives you like different recipes for the old cocktails. If you're still somebody who loves to make cocktails with alcohol, I got them all there. The sidecar, which is like brandy, sugar rim glass, squeeze of lemon, a little bit of triple sec, and garnished with a lemon wedge. So that's called sidecar. That was a very famous cocktail in the 1920s. They used to call it giggle water. Giggle water served here. I've got pictures of men running the streets where they have signs, "We want beer, we want beer." I mean, I can't blame them. It was a rough time frame with the Great Depression starting in, let's see, the 1930s, I think, the stock market crash. And ultimately the government decided finally that it was just impractical, just completely impractical to try to limit the production of alcohol, eliminating the production of alcohol. It was almost impossible because something like, one second, my phone is ringing. Sorry, I had to answer that call right mid-recording. Okay, got to get my train of thought here. So going back to the production of this candle and researching everything. So on our candles, we have to put the notes. We have to put the notes of what the candle is at the bottom. And so you get, there's a lot of brain work that goes into this. So not only are you a writer, researcher, and you have to be accurate with the time, you have to be accurate with the fragrance oil that you're using. Would this make sense? And I don't want to give too much away, but we had to really research, okay, what were the bars made of? What was the countertop made of? What ingredients did they have around the 1920s that they would add to that cocktail? And would that make sense? And what explains the sweetness in this candle? How could we exemplify using historical knowledge how to describe this candle? So a lot goes into our stuff. It's not like we slap a label and say, hey, this is a vanilla candle. There's way more that goes into it. Believe me, a lot more brain power, which is wonderful because I enjoy it. And it's a tag team effort. My sister and I really, really hash things out. All right, getting back to the subject. Okay, we're in the 1920s. What is happening with women? Oh my goodness. Women are getting a little bit more rebellious. We're getting a little wild, aren't we? You have this social divide where you have more of religious groups and more of people that are trying to make women definitely stay in the home. They want them to uphold family values. They want them to definitely not be promiscuous. They definitely don't want them to smoke and drink, for sure. And then you have this other social divide. You have the social divide where women are like, no, I want to do what men do. I want to vote like men do. I want to have fun like men do. And I'm going to do it. So there you go. And you know what? If a man wants to kiss me and if a man wants to touch me, I'm going to let him. That's my decision. That's my choice. So there's all kinds of people in the world, and there always has been and there always will be. There will always be people with differing opinions. So anyway, the 1920s was when, and I'm sure there were other times in this life that I don't know about. But anyway, the 1920s was huge because women's suffrage, we got the right to vote on August 18th, 1920. It was the 19th Amendment of the Constitution. And this definitely was And I quote from the article from Paul Jenkins, which was entitled Speakeasies in the 1920s, the Rise of the Underground Bars During Prohibition. This is his quote. This was the jazz age, and it was a shift toward gender equality and personal freedom. That's right. So that's where we're developing another candle all about that, the flappers of the 1920s, and doing all the different research on the cocktails that they would drink, the experiences that they had. And it is just fascinating, completely fascinating, how these women, they cut their hair short, they wore shorter skirts, fringed dresses, they had pearls, they had feathers, they would sip cocktails just like guys would, they would smoke just like guys would, they would go to petting parties. I know this sounds really interesting, but, or maybe kind of sassy, don't you think? They would go to parties where they would make out. Yeah. Oh, my God. People love sex. Oh, you know, it's not a unique idea. But it was around that time frame because women had to be prim and proper. But I think even today, we still have that thought that women shouldn't like sex. Isn't that just bizarre? So crazy. Anyway, I'm going to see in my notes if I forgot. I think I have forgotten a few things, so I'm going to gather my thoughts, and then I'll be right back. Hang tight. Okay, I'm just going to talk about bootlegged moonshine. Moonshine is also another term for bathtub gin. I've read a couple articles where bathtub gin, so one article said it was created in the actual bathtub, and then another article said that it wasn't created in the bathtub. So it's very hard to understand what the truth is when you have conflicting articles. But basically, bathtub gin was alcohol created under very amateur conditions. And a lot of the bootlegged alcohol was created from grain alcohol. And they would add different botanicals, especially juniper berries. There were different things like orange peels, cloves, cardamom, coriander seeds, different things that would sort of take away the nasty taste. It was bad. If you think about grain alcohol, that's almost 100%. That's like 95% alcohol. It's like Everclear. I mean, have you sat down and did a shot of Everclear? It's nasty. Horrible. What also was really, really bad about this bootleg alcohol is that the way they would produce it, lead oftentimes would get into it. So folks were drinking all kinds of different horrible chemicals, and lead is really bad for you. So what would happen to people? Some would be paralyzed. Different parts of their body would be paralyzed, their hands and their feet. It's called Jake foot. Let's see, I have a statistic and I don't know where I got it, but 1930, there were 15,000 people that ended up with Jake foot. In 1927, 12,000 people died from this bad alcohol. Yeah, it's really sad. If you watch the movie Water for Elephants, or if you read the book, they actually touch on what was going on in that time frame. And there was a main character, I believe he had Jake foot or some sort of condition that was pretty widely known for people that were constantly drinking the bootlegged moonshine. So that's a great book, by the way. Great movie. Trying to think what else. Okay, so yeah, in the alcohol, they found denatured ethyl alcohol, and deadly methyl alcohol. So this stuff was very much not good for you. And I haven't read anything about this, but it just really reminds me of, if I have to compare it to anything that's kind of current day, I kind of think about, remember the fentanyl overdoses and the everything was laced with fentanyl? It reminds me of marijuana and how some people would actually get marijuana. Obviously, this was done under the table. This was illegally sold marijuana. Some of it was laced with fentanyl and it was laced with other things. It just wasn't pure. And I think about the safety of recreational drugs and how, even though I don't smoke marijuana and I have no qualms about somebody who does, that's their life. But there's a comfort in knowing that when somebody buys it legally, that it has set standards and that it's safe. And it's safe is a relative term, but you know what you're getting and you know that you're not going to have something that's laced with something else. There is a comfort there. And I think you could go down this whole rabbit hole of talking about the ethics of things and what's acceptable. Why do people want to get inebriated? Why do people want to get altered? And you could go down a whole rabbit hole of the psychology of all of that. The bottom line is people do like to get altered. They have for centuries. Little kids, they spin around real fast just to get that really weird, kind of crazy feeling. And I think that is a normal human desire. Yeah, we could go down a whole rabbit hole of that. But as you know, I do believe that if you go down that path too much and it affects your life in a negative way, then you have to analyze your relationship with that substance. But bottom line is that by making it legal, you set standards and the product that you get can be a trusted product to be pure and as safe as it could be. All right. Next segment. I'm going to look at my notes again and see if I've missed anything. I feel like I've really glossed over a lot of different things. So I'm just going to back up and like try to recap things that I want to say. Okay. Speakeasies. They were also called gin joints, blind pigs, or blind tigers. Essentially, it was a bar, oftentimes with a hidden entrance. You had to say a password to get in. A lot of this was involving criminals. Probably all of it was involving criminals because you had to get all of this bootleg booze to these places. And I don't know the ins and outs of, Al Capone and all the different, I don't know anything about the crime, like the actual, the mob and all its involvement. I haven't really researched that because it really doesn't interest me, but, it definitely was full on crime. It was just full on crime. I've watched some of the Peaky Blinders, which I do have some schematics on my Pinterest board about the Peaky Blinders, but that was really probably one of the best visual treats you have to really see what was going on in that time frame. Plus, the main character is very good looking. If you want a visual candy for that, yeah, check it out, Peaky Blinders. I do have seriously a good mind to sit down and binge watch that. But anyway, so backing up, so let's talk about something I didn't talk about. Great books created during that time. One of the most famous ones, The Great Gatsby. You probably read it in your high school literary class. I read it maybe about, 5 or 6 years ago as an adult. It was by F. Scott Fitzgerald. And he was actually a Minnesota writer, by the way. It's set in the jazz era. There's a millionaire Jay Gatsby. You've got your main character, Daisy Buchanan, Nick Carraway. You just got to go see it. It's a movie, or read it. It's some of the most beautiful writing I've ever seen. When I read it as an adult, I had a little notebook and I wrote down all of the beautiful quotes. I was like, how did this guy come up with this? I mean, honestly, like, how does this come out of somebody's brain onto paper? Astonishing. Okay. And then let's see. There's another work of art. Yeah, they are works of art. I can't talk in this segment. I'm flubbing up my words. Maybe I should redo this. No, I'm not going to. I'm going to keep going because I got stuff to do today. Okay. Another one that I have not actually read, but the reason why I bring it up is because it was actually a cocktail name. Ernest Hemingway created a cocktail called Death in the Afternoon. It was, let's see, one part absinthe and four parts champagne. You could also throw a sugar cube in there or a little bit of simple syrup to kind of make it bubbly. That was, Death in the Afternoon was actually a book about a Spanish bullfighter. And I think the thought is that there was mention of this cocktail in the work of art, but don't quote me. Anyway, he was also a writer in the early 30s, I believe that was published. So everyone knows Ernest Hemingway's name, or at least most people do. So, what else? I'm looking at my notes trying to think, what else did I miss? Yeah, I talked about all that. Oh, I didn't even talk about the styles of the men. Very sexy look. I'm telling you, 1920s dress for men, hot. They would wear fedoras, pinstripe suits. Just go watch Peaky Blinders if you want to know what I like. Oh my God, that is a great look. What else? Oh, I know I probably seem like I'm really like grasping at straws because I kind of am. I'm trying to like fit it all in before I leave. So absinthe is a liqueur or a spirit that tastes a little bit like licorice or black licorice. It has a green color, and it was illegal in the United States from 1912 to 2007. It's also called the Green Fairy, and that was the main ingredient in that drink I was talking about, Death in the Afternoon. So, you know, just because you are abstaining or trying to be sober curious does not mean that you have to, like, completely remove yourself from the world and history. To me, this is just really interesting stuff. Even though I'm not going to indulge in alcoholic beverages, I still really, really love to know the psychology behind why people did, the creativity that they had to come up with to ingest these poisonous cocktails. I mean, it is fucking fascinating to me. So anyway, I'm going to do an outro and I'll be out of your hair.
Yay!
Okay, so these are the types of, so when we're creating a candle, these are the types of things that I want to start putting on the podcast. I would have started it today. However, I'm having trouble getting into my email, and you need an email to actually start a podcast. So starting a podcast through Anchor is super easy. You can actually become monetized, but I will tell you, it's not a big money maker. And you have to have a certain number of plays and followers, and there's rules, just like YouTube. I used to be monetized, and I'm not monetized anymore. And I don't care because I just want to help some people, and I want to get my thoughts. I have this brain that just doesn't stop. And I want to get my thoughts out in the world, and I find that verbalizing things and writing things really helps me. And it's training for my, you know, sometimes I stammer because my brain's going so fast. And this podcast is actually therapy, like speech therapy for me. So those are the reasons why I do these things, to help people, to work on my speech therapy, which is my own therapy. And basically just get all my thoughts out of my brain into some format, because there's a lot in there that's spinning around all the time. I think a lot. So it's just a really great way for me to process things. So that's why I do it. And when we create these candles, there's a lot of thought that goes into every little detail on the candle, from the story, from the title, from the notes, from the coloring, the scent we choose, everything. There's so much thought that goes into each one. And it's just so much more than just a scent. So anyway, what I wanted to do was start a podcast where I can go into detail, like little historical things or reasons behind why we're doing this. And just so you can get a little bit more of a depth and understanding of what is going on at Ink Flower Scent Co. And it's something that I'm really proud of, really fucking passionate about and proud of. So anyway, stay tuned for that. As soon as I can get my email up and running, I can start doing that. So it is really snowy out. If you don't have to travel anywhere today, don't. If you can hunker down, do it, because it's really bad out. Even though I'm not going to take my own advice, I'm going to whip up to the Y. It's only like 4 minutes away. So I really want to dance. I took the day off. Normally I work a 12, 13 hour day, but I took the day off for my husband's birthday. So I'm going to make him a lemon cake because that's what he wants. And we're going to make smash burgers tonight. And that's about it. It's going to be pretty chill. I feel like I want to do at least one quote before I leave, okay? So I'll do a quote and then I'll do my typical music. I found a Great Gatsby quote. F. Scott Fitzgerald. I'm really flubbing my words today. I think it's because my brain is going so fast. Anyway, for what it's worth, it's never too late, or, in my case, too early to be whoever you want to be. There's no time limit. Stop whenever you want. You can change or stay the same. There are no rules to this thing. We can make the best or the worst of it. I hope you make the best of it. And I hope you see things that startle you. I hope you feel things you've never felt before. I hope you meet people with a different point of view. I hope you live a life you're proud of. If you find that you're not, I hope you have the courage to start all over again. All right, the green light was a really big symbol in The Great Gatsby, and there's a candle by Frostbeard, which I absolutely adore those candles. They take time and attention, and they base them on books that are in existence. Anyway, it's called Gatsby's Mansion, and it's a green candle. The notes are daisy, champagne, and sea mist, which is completely perfect. It smells amazing. I haven't lit it yet, but I bought it for myself for my birthday because I had had my eye on it for about a year. And you can't get certain candles anytime you want. They pull them off the table. Like once spring is gone, they pull it off the table and you can't get it. So I had to wait a year for this candle because I was too slow. So, anyway, I have the candle. It was for my birthday, and Frostbeard Candles is a Minnesota company. I've advertised them on here many times. But they actually inspired me to become a candle maker because I loved their unique mixes and I thought, I want to do that. I can do that. I'm going to do it. I mix perfume all the time. I create my own perfumes. I can create candles too. So anyway, backing up to the Gatsby Greenlight quote here, very famous. I found some on Pinterest where they switched the word out orgastic for orgasmic. And I actually did read this quote with the one that said orgasming. And I thought, that just seems wrong. But anyway, I found it here. So I think orgastic is probably the right one because more quotes have that in it. And I only saw one that had orgasmic. Anyway, okay. Gatsby believed in the green light, the orgastic future that year by year recedes before us. It eluded us then, but that's no matter. Tomorrow, we will run faster, stretch our arms out farther. Stretch out our arms farther, and one fine morning. So we beat on, boats against the current, borne back ceaselessly into the past. I would have to really reread the book. I know that the green light was important, and I honestly would have to revisit it. Was it like this promise that someday Daisy would come back to him? Was that what it was? I can't remember. I'm gonna have to reread it. Anyway, great book. Okay, this is my fourth take, and I'll admit it. There's a great blooper section for you. All right. I hope you learned a little something about the 1920s, the Jazz Age. What happened to people? How dangerous it was to go to the speakeasies and drink all of those fabulous cocktails that were flavored with mulled fruit just so you could get inebriated, which is a natural human trait to feel a little different, to party a little. It's normal. It's normal to want to feel that. Anyway, hope you have a wonderful day. I hope you do not travel. Hunker down if you can. And that's all I got for you. All right. Have a good one. And now I really want to read the book again. I am reading so many different books right now. I'm still working on Atomic Habits. I'm still kind of reading the first book, The Claiming of Sleeping Beauty. Let's see what else. I have a book I want to start called The Perfume Collector. And this one's on my list too. So yeah, I'm definitely knee deep in books. It's fine. It's okay. It's a good problem to have. All right, I hope you learned some more information about the prohibition, changes in our society on the different... OMG, I am really losing my train of thought. Okay, this is my official outro. I hope you learned more about our history, the prohibition, 1920s, the Jazz Age, what women went through, what people went through as far as trying to get their inebriation fix. How dangerous it is. How, fuck me. All right, this is the outro. I've done a couple takes of the outro and I really messed them up and they're in my blooper section, so I hope you enjoy. I love blooper sections. Actually, Mel Robbins does blooper sections and I think it's so wonderful to show, like, hey, this might seem like a perfect production, but it isn't. You know, my throat was dry. I had to take some water. I flubbed up my words. That's a vulnerability. I love her. Anyway, go check her podcast out. You know, it's funny. I started advertising her podcast and my numbers started dropping. I'm like, they're all over at Mel Robbins podcast. That's okay. Because you know what? She gives some really amazing information out. She just did an episode about menopause, premenopause, menopause, that kind of thing. And let's see, I just turned 48, so I'm definitely in the peri, but I don't want to say I'm scared, but I'm scared. I'm scared. But it's nice to know that there are certain things that you can do now, like making sure that you're eating and not starving yourself and doing weight training, that that's going to help you in the long run. I know that's just a whole different topic. But starving yourself and being total skinny mini will not help you. So put some meat on your bones, get some muscle, and your bones are going to be stronger. It's exact. You know what? There's nothing wrong with a little bit of curves and a little bit of muscle. I could go off a tangent on my thoughts on that. I'm all about this balance, you know? You don't want to go too far on either end. You want to have something to grab onto, but also, you know, I don't know. This is really not a good outro. This is a third blooper. Oh my God.